Charlie Anderson's originally from Newbury Park, and his current town is Pismo Beach. He works as an IT person, an expert in IT, information technology, which we all rely on so much these days. So please welcome Charlie.
IT is generally a boring job, but it's so vague, and nobody really knows what you're talking about. I don't know if there's any IT professionals in the crowd tonight, but nobody knows. So my story is of my life when I was younger, before the days of mass communication, before you had cell phones, you know, much like, probably not as far back, but near. I'm old enough to be before cell phones and such, and computers and email. It was like back in the day, you'd make a phone call at a payphone or something like that. So I made a promise to my mother when I went to college that I would be safe, that I would stay away from girls, you know, all these kind of things you make to your mother when you go to college. And I grew up in Newbury Park, and in January, I went to college in Chicago. And I had traveled before, but I had never lived far away from home. And I was like this young guy who thought I, you know, probably had some sort of like street smarts. But if you grew up in Newbury Park, you don't. You just don't. But I was hot-headed and full of hubris. So I go to Chicago, and I remember the first day I fly in, it's like January, like, you know, whatever, 3rd or 4th, and I land. And I was like thinking about buying a snowboard for my buddy. He's like, oh, there's all this snow in Chicago. You can snowboard. They don't tell you that it's flat. The entire center of the country is like a pancake. So I get out, and I'm on the train, and the plane lands, and the door opens at the first stop on the Brown Line. And the snow in cold weather just goes whoosh, and just spins up into the train. And I was like, wow, it's really cold here. You know, I had like, you know, I didn't know about layers. I just had like a jacket and a t-shirt. I was like really from California. So anyway, the semester progressed, and I was really doing a good job of fulfilling my promise to my mother just to stay out of trouble. And I'd made a few friends around college, and one of them was this guy, David. He's this really big guy from Phoenix. So he and I immediately had something because we're both from the West. And in the Midwest, the West is a foreign land, as much as the Midwest is a foreign land to us. You know, Bob Dylan said he came from the right country, the Midwest, and it really is another country. So there was David, and he and I were good friends. He's this big guy from Phoenix. And then I made friends with this gal, Emily, and she was younger than she looked, and she was from a well-to-do family in the Northeast, in Rochester. And she was like what you would expect, like me from California, what I expect somebody from the Northeast to be like. She's like really educated, really well-read, and very proper. But, you know, you kind of get like jabbing and teasing Emily, and she breaks down because she's been in this like I don't know, socialite circle her whole life, right? And then there's Doyle, and Doyle was from the Midwest. And he was like the ultimate goofy guy. He played the trombone, like never had left the Midwest and went to Chicago, like the big city, you know. And so the three of us thought it would be a really cool idea for spring break to go to Niagara Falls. And so Doyle said, well, I've got a car, because having a car was not something usually somebody has in Chicago. And he said, well, I've got this car. And Emily said, well, I'm from Rochester, which is real close to Niagara Falls. So we said, well, let's all get in the car of a spring break. We go stay at Emily's house and then visit Niagara Falls. And I thought, this is a great idea. I can, you know, see the Northeast, and it'd be all sorts of fun. So being the, like, you know, foolhardy traveler I was, this was like September 15th, 2001, I want to say, right? Around that time, all that stuff happened in New York. And so we're getting to go, and Doyle calls me on my dorm phone. He's like, hey, Charlie, you know, it's like Friday night. We're going to go get your stuff, And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, I like threw a t-shirt in a backpack and just walked out. And we're going to be gone for like a week in New York. So I brought nothing. It was just kind of like, whatever. So I get in the car and we're driving, you know, and we're having this great time. We're listening to music. And, you know, our plan was you go from Chicago and you go but under a lake and you go to Michigan and you go to Detroit. And they said, well, if you go into Canada from Detroit, you can go to, maybe somebody else knows the geography up there better than I do. You can basically make it to New York quicker than if you were to go under another lake through Ohio. So we said, oh, that's a great idea. We're going to go up into Michigan, into Detroit, and then cut across this big bridge and into Canada and then drive through the night into New York. And it was going to be like this one shot, bam. So we all think it's a great idea. We were listening to music, we're traveling, and we get to Detroit, and I feel like this is before most people knew Detroit was a bad town. I mean, we knew it was a bad town, but it was like, it was a really bad town. So I was thinking to my mother, you know, I promised my mother I'm not going to, you know. And so we pull off, and Doyle goes, hey, I need gas. It's like probably 1 in the morning. And Emily's like, I got to go pee. So we're like, okay, we're going to go to this gas station right off the freeway here in Detroit. So we pull off the road, and we go to this gas station, and it's like really seedy, like really real. I mean, we were in Chicago. I was working in like Cabrini Green. Like we had seen seedy, but this was really seedy. So we go inside, and I'm kind of hanging outside by the thing, and Emily goes in. She's like, I need to use the bathroom. She's like, Charlie, would you come help me, you know, talk to this guy, just be around, you know? So we went inside, and we said, hey, can we use your restroom? And this guy behind like the desk just kind of goes, well, you can use the restroom, but just know that's PJ's place. And Emily, like, just grips my shoulder, like, my arm there. She's like, what's that mean? And I was like, ah, yeah, just give us a key. We're just going to use the bathroom. And he's like, I'm just warning you, that's PJ's place. And I was like, all right. And Emily's like, just stay outside the door, and if PJ comes, just tell him to go away. So we get the key. We go in, and Emily's in there going to the bathroom. And I'm waiting outside. Thankfully, PJ never comes, but Emily comes out of the bathroom, and she goes, Charlie, when I sat down on the toilet, there was a hole just looking off into the darkness through the wall. And I was like, oh, maybe that's where PJ lives. So we get in, and we get in the car, and I'm like, let's just get out of here. Let's get out of Detroit. So we get back in the car, and Dill's driving, and we're all really tired. I'm kind of in the back seat, and we get on the on-ramp to the freeway again. We're going into Canada, and I hear this, like, big bang, you know, this snap. And I go, Doyle, what was that noise? And he goes, nothing. And I go, okay. And so I just kind of dozed to sleep. And then we wake up, and we're at the Canadian border. And we drove across this big bridge. We're at the Canadian border. And apparently, Canada and the United States are two different countries. So when you go there, I thought it was just like, oh, we're Canadians, come right in, you know? But you have to do this border thing. So we get out, and we leave the U.S., and you cross this bridge, and then you get to Canada. And they pull our car over. I mean, I've been to Mexico. They just kind of wave you in. It's like, whatever, you know? So they pull our car over, and we have to get out of the car and walk through this, like, legitimate customs thing. And they get to me, and they're like, we need your passport, and blah, 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 where are you going? I'm like, we're just traveling through, and like, I don't have a passport. They're like, well, do you have identification? It's like, well, I left my wallet. This is before credit cards. I'm like, I left my wallet. I have some cash. I'm like, oh, you know, I have my school ID. And I pull out my school ID, and he, like, the Canadian border guard looks at me, and he just starts laughing. And he goes, no, you need an ID. Do you realize what just happened in your country last week in New York? You think I'm going to let you into Canada? He's like, get out of here. And I was like, really? I can't go to Canada? He's like, no. And he gets this paper, and he stamps it. And it says, permission denied to enter Canada. And he gives it back to me. And he goes, go back to the United States and come back when you have a passport. And I was like, this is ridiculous. So I'm thinking, I made this promise. I'm going to stay out of trouble. Like, I'm going to do it right. So we get back in the car, and I'm like, guys, I'm really sorry. I didn't think that I would like really need a passport to go to Canada. So we get in the car and we're driving back to the United States, and the border agents for the United States, you know, because we now have to go back into customs to the United States because we're officially in Canada over this bridge. And we pull our car up, and these guys, you know, and it's like they're very intimidating looking, like bulletproof vests and stuff. They look in the car, and they go, "You guys just crossed, right?" And I said, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." They go, "Why are you back?" So I like kind of hold up my paper, and he looks at it, and he is just like steaming angry, you know, like, "I'm going to kill this guy." And he goes, "Hold out your hand, Charlie." And I hold out my hand, and he's like, "Emily, in the front seat, slap his wrists." And she just like, she's like, "Okay." She slaps my wrist. We leave. Anyway, the story goes on and on, but I'll stop it there. We ended up, that snap seized the engine. It was our some sort of pump. And we ended up staying in Toledo, well, on the outskirts of Toledo, on the side of the freeway for a week. And I ended up getting into Canada eventually. But I made that promise to my mom. And thankfully, I called my mom when I got to New York and said, "I made it safe, Mom."